Well, welcome to another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have here Scott Bishop of Philip Walthall on the right, and out in Georgia at the NX is James Uessler. Good morning, guys. Good afternoon, guys. Whatever it is.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, what's on our collective minds this Sunday?
Good service this morning in South Carolina. Brother Davey had a good sermon out there. I encourage folks to go back. If you did hear it, go back, listen to it again. I know I'm going to.
Yep.
A lot of good stuff in there.
It is up. Awaiting the editing process, so I know Sister Sue will be taking care of that and posting it as soon as she gets around to it. And we appreciate that. And she says, awesome audio. Well, that's good, too, because I found out that my major adversary with the computer operations is Windows. Every time Windows updates, it resets everything.
Changes all your settings.
So, that's how that was hampering the audio and why it kept going back to messed up. Oh, man. Well,
praise God, we got it fixed.
Yes. There's nothing more annoying than listening to myself, unless it's listening to myself in a tunnel with a bunch of drum beating going on that isn't in there when we sent it out. It's like, what happened here? Well, anyways, it is it's a blessing to have Brother Davey here. And
amen.
To receive his ministry. And, you know, it really does. I didn't mean to step on James. Did you have something to say, or should I go on?
I was listening to you, Paul.
Okay.
I will say Davey's going to be Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We'll continue with his sermon.
Yes.
For those listening.
That is true. Good point.
That might change to 8. Might be starting to change to 8, but we'll make sure we get it posted up and let people know on the website if that's the case. If it's gonna, we do that change this coming Thursday or not? But we'll find out. It's not set in stone, but that's just something we might be looking into. So.
All right. Well, everybody, keep your ears and eyes open. And
the bottom line in being able to receive from the Lord is really the challenge. Do you believe? Do you believe the Word? Believe what it says? And if you're not receiving from the Lord, then there's only one of two things. You either don't believe or you don't know it. You don't know the Word or you don't believe it. Those are only two. The only two conclusions you can come to. So you have to deal with it accordingly. And you know, go before the Lord and just confess your condition and let Him minister to you. And just, you know, to me, it's so powerful just to read the first chapter of John. It's powerful for me to read you know, Colossians and first time. Well, you know, I can probably keep going. It's just, the best thing to do is to read His Word, and you know. It's more than just a drill to see that you perform. You know, pray the Lord will open it up to you, and that you know, we'll prepare your heart to receive from that as well. You go into these services and pray that. And watch them start opening the stuff up for you. And give you a reference point to say, yeah, I believe your word. I've seen it. I've seen it manifest. I know what it looks like when it's in operation.
And if you believe his word, you're going to trust his word.
Right.
You're going to do what it says. It just comes to mind over Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I mean, by faith, Abraham obeyed. If you're going to believe the word of God, you're going to trust the word of God. And trust, well, I guess if you obey the word of God, that means you trust the word of God. That means you believe the word of God. So really, by your actions, you will show whether or not you believe. That makes sense? Yeah. So what are you seeing in your life? And over in Psalms, is it Psalms, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding? And that comes right back to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust him.
Right.
You can believe his word. One of the things you mentioned today was essentially, try it. Try him.
Mm-hmm.
He will meet you there.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the simple truth is he's not trying to evade you. He's not running and hiding and
ducking and jiving.
Right.
All too often we're the ones that are doing that.
Yeah, that's our modus operandi, it's not his.
That's that default setting that we have, that curse.
That's right.
We need to change them settings. Kind of like your microphone and your computer here.
Right.
Every time that thing resets, it goes right back to default, man. And default doesn't work.
Not for our purposes, it sure doesn't.
Right. But if your goal is life and that eternal, then the default settings that you're born into this world with are not sufficient. You've got to change your mind.
Right. Change your mind and change your belief system.
Yeah.
Because you're trusting, you know, there's to some degree, you know, and absent any emotion one way or the other, there is some stuff which you acquire by a choice to believe in. And there's some of it that that just fundamentally has to change. You left the word, Jesus says, you are clean now by the word. Was it in John 15 that I have spoken?
Right around there.
Some of it is you need to let the word have some of the regenerative and cleansing power first so that you can choose to believe something. You know, and there's some great things in there I would really choose to believe. but, you know, some of that, some of the ministry of that word, whether it's spoken or read, you know, or spoken, not just preached, but shared from above you down, you know, those over us. has a regenerative, restorative, cleansing, just a renewing work that is right is part of the process of how Lord reveals himself and his truth to you, so that you can choose to believe it. It's really a good thing that that's there, or we'd just be wandering around all the time trying to latch on to truth that we could never latch on to. So, the truth of the wholeness of the work that Jesus Christ completed is it's immense, and it starts with dying in our place and taking our sin by his choice and loving us enough to do that, and rising again into power and new life, where we're in his new life, and the implications there are immense as far as what we have access to, what we have tapped into by agreeing to commit our lives to him. And, you know, was it Colossians says, let me get there so I don't mess it up. I am says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ too is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's one of those things I want to believe. bad. And because our life is only life in him. It's like David was saying, this stuff is dead, it's cursed, it's not what he died to save. You know, the Romans 7 stuff with my body will serve the law of sin, with my mind the law of Christ. That sounds to the natural like an elegant cop-out. But when you understand all the stuff that he's been saying in Romans, it's an understanding that the flesh is cursed and it cannot please God, which he talks about later in chapter 8. Cannot please God. There's nothing in it. In my flesh, nothing good dwells. So if you ever think it's going to line up with the Word of God, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's not going to happen that way. The only thing you can do is to choose to serve him with your mind, with your spirit, to find out that, again, further off, up in Romans 8, in the flesh, what does it say? In the carnal man cannot please God. Is that what it says?
Let's fill that.
It's just next,
I think it's 7, because the carnal mind is and 8.
Yeah. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, that's hopeless, right? Because we're all in the flesh right now. But that's not what he's saying here. It's what, if you're following after the flesh, which, you know, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the flesh, that means it's leading you.
Yeah.
And you're still letting it rule your life. It's, you're doing what it tells you to do. If
put
you're
it in
following after
terms.
The Spirit, then the Spirit is leading where you're going.
Sure.
And you're agreeing with it and committed to following it to do what it wants you to do.
Yeah.
So
somebody out in the world today might say, well, do what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, you're leading, you know, you're following after your flesh. And that's not the case. It's not what you should be doing.
So, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And this is, you know, some of what Davey was saying, right? We get to dwell with him behind the veil. That's good stuff, man. But consequently, everything that is characteristic of him, everything that was bound up in receiving Jesus Christ, you receive that you can partake of all that provision as you go about revealing him to those outside. By stripes you were healed. Wow, that's some good stuff there. Healing is part of the ministry, part of his deliverance of us to an ability to sit, serve and please him. So that's where I was going. That is, you know, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, right?
Yeah.
You have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's great news. Especially if you're already in a place where you believe that he is. That means that he can be diligently sought and found. And there's more of a reward in that than just the finding of him. The reward is manifold. But you can't you can't keep choosing to be following after the flesh. It doesn't work that way. It's taking a hard right turn off of his path and his plan and following yourself, your own. And that doesn't work so well. And you can't please God that way. And, you know, the lie we live in and we tell ourselves our whole life prior to actually really doing business with the Lord is that, well, I got these offsets.
Yeah.
I did this and he'll like that, and I did this, and well, I get to do that now because I did this. And that's not the deal. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But our ability to operate in delusion is amazing. So how long did you live and believe that lie? That's crazy. Well, a long time. Until somebody addressed it and said, you know, you're straddling the fence there. I mean, that's, you've got one foot in the kingdom and the other foot, you're still trying to do it yourself. And it means that Jesus' work was incomplete, or somehow you don't think it was enough.
It wasn't sufficient.
So yeah, you got to give up that, get to give that up. Because it absolutely was.
Amen.
And, you know, that's the good thing about the gospel. The provision had to be set up really to just grab our butts and haul us to the truth, because we're not going to seek it out on our own. And, just lays it all out there for us. Gives you access to things that are fantasy to those that are in the flesh, to those that are used to living in there by default. But it's like yay and amen to to those that believe and can receive and can operate from behind the veil. Great, great word, great concept. And it's, Sue says that she has that thing posted now, doesn't she? It's amazing.
Yeah, I saw that come into the chat.
All right, so today's Sunday South Carolina service is already up and online. If you were smart, you'd go there and listen to it. And you can do this one later. Because Davey can do it better than I can. So, you got anything to share with us there, Philip? Nothing to say, okay. How about you, James?
Well, listening to you talk, I see where the gospel offends. I think it's, you know, as it says in Matthew, and because a lot of people try to serve God after the flesh and want to become holy, I guess I should say,
right,
in their flesh. And you can't serve God in the flesh. And this is addressing that, and I think that's where a lot of people get offended.
Well, you can think you are, but you can't. Doesn't work that way. You can try to convince other people you are, and you might be successful, but that doesn't mean you are.
Well, that's all about getting the, you know, approval of men.
Right.
And if that's what you want, then go down that path. But if you actually want the approval of God, seek Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's told us how.
Mm-hmm.
Told us what to do. So what are you waiting for? Do it.
Yeah. No better time than right now.
We sang that song.
While he can be found.
We sang that song at service, Trust and Obey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Trust. Believe him. Trust him.
Right.
Obey him.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. This isn't complex.
There's no other way.
Okay, maybe you shouldn't sing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's probably bad news. I have this wonderful voice that everyone...
And one of the things that we've talked about in a lot of these services over the last few months is being a doer of the word.
Right.
If you're a doer of the word, I mean, that lines up in my mind with obeying. I mean, obey is another one of those action words.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who are we going to obey? I mean, if there's something that you're told to do that you're not, you've never done it before, you're not sure on how to do it. Right?
What is this? What is this word you're saying?
Obey.
Obey. That's the
not
seafood.
Obey. Not the seafood seasoning. No, I'm not going there. Although it is tasty. But
strange word. Wow.
If there's, you know, if the Lord tells you through one of His authorities or whichever, do a thing.
Right.
Do it this way. And you're not sure. You know, that evidences your lack of trust, your lack of belief. It shows your unbelief. But if you actually move forward and obey and do that which you've been told to do, in the manner in which you've been told to do it, on the other side of that, you can see the blessing. You'll see how it works. And that will foster your trust, foster your belief. And you can grow in that.
I had a couple of major run-ins with people at work about that particular process. Told me, give me a job to do, and said, do it like this. And I said, okay. But I got to the place, which is not my strong area anyhow. I mean, I'm on what they call an outfall gate. Which is where the storm runoff is controlled into the marsh and other sorts of ground. And I was supposed to do something. I don't know what it was exactly. Either raise or lower the gate. I don't know. Something.
You're messing with the gate.
But the equipment didn't work. So they had a come-along strung across on top, a bar that goes across top. And you had to sit there and crank the come-along to get the thing to go
to come down. Along.
Yeah. And whatever it was I was supposed to do, I got done. But it wasn't the way he told me to do it. And he got really angry. I said, but the job got done. I mean, you know, the thing's like it's supposed to be, right? He wasn't happy with that. And I said, oh, God, please come on, 7 o'clock. And eventually 7 o'clock bailed me out. But I was never pleasing to the guy in charge. And although if there was a consequence of that, operationally, I didn't see it, and I don't know that there was, but there was a consequence to not doing it the way he told me to do it. That consequence was he couldn't trust me to do what he told me to do.
Yeah,
and that's a problem, especially if you know it's in your workplace. You know, that's not a successful way to be in the workplace. It's just like that. It's not a successful way to be in the kingdom of God either. If you can't do what you're told. If you can't see that as both needful and pleasing to those over you, then there's two things that are true. One is they can't trust you. And two is you get to heaven with that. You're not going to be able to stand.
Amen.
The first time what's going on runs afoul of what your judgment is, you're going to...
Yeah, you know a better way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pride is what you're talking about.
That's absolutely right. It is a truth. That, and a proverb that pride goes before a fall. It's gonna happen. If you're trusting in your own ability, in your own wisdom, in your own knowledge and ability, you're lining yourself up for a fall. It's gonna look ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Whether in the here and now or in the yet to be, it's going to be a nasty, nasty fall. Gail says, that comes across as being quite, Scott, as being high-minded. If I were new or exploring, I found nothing there that would draw me in, rather that serves to repel. High-mindedness is not attractive.
No, it's not. It's something we need to get away from, get rid of.
Absolutely. James? Well, because there's been a couple of references. The 122b, doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. Yeah. Anybody who has a face for radio is familiar with that. Debbie goes, was Scott being high-minded or was he just telling the truth? Yeah, that's an interesting question. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed in your deed?
Amen, I do.
All right, let's see. There's more. It's really more at work here than... There's a lot of practical application here into the way we relate to other people. Because this is not just how you relate to the Lord, this is how you relate to one another. The law was that Jesus shared was love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself, right? With the what they call the golden rule, doing others as you would have them do unto you. The truth of the matter is that most of us don't really like dealing with people that are full of themselves. Think, you know, they have all the answers and all the best ways of doing everything and, you know, walk around with their nose up in the air and just, you know, really God's gift to mankind. But how many of us act like that?
Sure.
Leave that mirror, walk away from the mirror, all of a sudden we're...
Well, a lot of times why we don't like that person is because we think that we're the ones that has all the answers.
Absolutely.
We think that we're...
They're clearly wrong!
Right!
How can we both be? Um, the great default verse, chapter four. And whence come wars and fighting amongst you? Come ye not hence even out of your lust that war in your members? That's what that relationship with others we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You don't play well with others, you got a problem. Somebody's going to come along who's bigger, meaner, and badder than you, or got a bigger stick than you, and he's just going to wail on you and launch that war. So, you lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, you have not, because you ask not. One of these things where it was something I was dealing with the whole time, probably the whole 20-year run at Amoco, was people who would presume, who don't know me. I should qualify that. People who don't know me, because the ones who do know me, it's kind of hard to pull this charade off on them. The ones who don't know me presume that I'm a dirtbag, right? And they would steal things from me that if they had asked me for, I might have given to them. I'm sitting there. That would just perplex the crap out of me. If somebody just asked me for that, I might have given it to them. Yeah. I have to take it. There's a spiritual truth there. People who say that they believe and you would yet, when nobody's looking, you know, take something from somebody or take somebody's, try to take their recognition or their glory from somebody. Because, I don't know, they seek it or something? If they were going about it the right way, weren't trying to go over the fence instead of through the gate, there's blessing in and of your own to receive from the Lord. You need to usurp somebody else's position and place and the blessing they're getting from doing the right thing. You can have it. All you got to do is ask. You don't have to try to steal it.
It's right there. It's a free gift.
That's right.
Lord is at hand.
Anyway. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. The motivation is key. You ever get that, you know, go to the Lord and ask for a thing, and you know, you get that, the answer back is, so why should I do that? I just, you know, wanted to be able to do such and such. Well, so you were doing that for me or what? Because the motivation matters. And he's very generous with stuff for you to do his stuff. But it's a tougher go to actually stand there and find yourself justifying yourself and your need for something. And it's hard, and it is again about choosing to be pleased with the stuff he wants to give you to do to please him. I want to be consumed with desire to please him so that all the gifts come down, or the good gifts come down from the Father of Lights, which is again here in James, to those who are committed to his agenda. He's good. The adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Here we are with that word again. We were just in Romans with that, talking about the flesh being at enmity with God. Whosoever is the...
whosoever there...
therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But gee,
make your
choice. A lot of people out there that are really accepted by the world and praised by the world
and do things for more praise.
For more praise.
From the world.
From the world. And you listen to these people talk long enough and they tell you what their motivation is. It's very seldom to serve the Lord. It's to make themselves feel good. Mm-hmm. There's make nothing spiritual something. About that.
Not That's really. Nothing.
There's no command in the Bible. It's not desirable to make yourself feel good. It's desirable to please the Lord. And, you know, being a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's not a place that anybody wants to be, is it? Really? Even if you were trying to delude yourself, that's not a good place. That's not the kind of delusion I'd want to swallow. I don't want to be an enemy of God.
Well, you see in the scripture as well that pride blinds.
Right.
So a lot of folks that are operating in this don't even see that they're nothing but a friend of the world and therefore an enemy of God.
You think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the enemy, envying other people's stuff and their position and their accolades, their recognition. Covet their stuff. Covet the praise and attention that other people give them. It's really ugly. But he giveth more grace. Well, that's a good thing, because that's the only chance we've got. Wherefore, he said, God resist the proud, but he give grace to the humble. If you're prideful, you're just not going to please God. He's going to resist you at every turn. And it's, you got two ways to go at that point. One is you get a testimony against God's righteousness. That's like,
yeah.
That's just mean. He's just dirty, you know, so-and-so. Or you repent. And get yourself in a place where you can receive grace. That place is an acknowledgement at first that you need it. And it takes humility to be able to acknowledge that, so, and get yourself in a place where you can receive it. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The submit and I don't know if it's significant to me. I don't know if it's significant to anybody else. But There's a difference between subjection and submission. Subjection is
somebody imposing their will upon you.
Yeah.
And submission is you accepting that other person's authority and moving
willingly
forward in obedience and obeying.
You know, God can be heavy-handed and enforce his authority. Or you can choose to receive his way and commit yourself to his way. And that's submission. And that's by will and by choice. When you, in humility, do that, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee. Because there's no point here. Nothing to have here. Nothing to see here.
You can believe this word. You can trust it.
That's right.
And know that if you submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, that he will flee from you. Period.
What the 70 that Jesus commissioned, what they came back saying, that was the first thing out of their mouths when they got back, wasn't it? The devils are subject to our words.
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that neat?
When you trust that and you actually move forward in obedience and you see it happen,
right,
that builds your faith, that builds your trust, that gets rid of unbelief. That's available to every one of us.
Mm-hmm. And this, again, there's just so many things in this chapter that we've already talked about,
mm-hmm,
or close to it. Here in James, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. He's not running and hiding.
He's right there.
You call out to him. You move closer to him. He moves closer to you. That's called relationship. That's how that works. Cleanse your hands, he says, and purify your hearts. Your hearts, be double-minded. You cleanse your hands. You cleanse your hands from evil works, right?
Yeah.
You purify your hearts.
It's like David's prayer.
What do you need to purify your hearts from?
Unbelief.
Absolutely.
David's prayer, create in me a clean heart.
That's right. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, and I think that relates to the process of purifying your hearts. This is serious business. And, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, hear these words. Be afflicted. Mourn for what you've done. Weep
for what you've allowed to stay. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The only word that matters is the testimony of the Lord about you.
Amen.
And if you humble yourself and submit yourself unto him, then the only thing that I want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all I really want to hear.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't.
But, you know, even if this is referring to lifting me up out of the grave,
yeah,
that works too. So, and more again with the relationship thing. Speak evil, speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. It is always about applying, trying to apply the law or your version of it to your brother, and trying by inference making yourself better at keeping it than your brother. But you know, what business is that? What is that to you anyway?
Well, it shouldn't be anything, but I mean, the word says if you judge amongst yourselves, you judge amiss.
The perfect law of liberty is love God and love one another.
Amen.
Where is the speaking evil?
It doesn't fit into that scenario, does it?
Not at all.
And the thing that, you know, gets thrown into that mix is your own pride.
Mm-hmm.
Davey put into the chat, how does one draw closer to God? Get rid of the pride.
There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? This isn't your place.
No.
And you know, the presumption, the pride, and the arrogance goes on. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a place, such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now, you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What's the good he's talking about here? It's knowing your place before the Lord. It's not being presumptuous. Huh? You know, it is a good word.
Amen.
I think we're in a wrap position. Any last words, James?
Not here, Paul.
Any last words here?
Not for me.
All right. Let's say goodbye, and y'all have a great week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
And goodbye, and may the Lord bless you all through the week.